Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up on TMS, I underestimate the tadpool.
Birds or drones? Prove it! You can't!
Is oxygen a gas? Because I'd, like, really wanted to know.
You'll get no Scat Cat, no Sledgehammer, and no Lieutenant Yar!
It didn't feel long. It felt right.
98-year-old man dies. Hardcore!
Did you know Diablo came out?
A tentacle for every finger.
Don't Google it or count the bumps.
Turns out Canadian robbers are still Canadian.
Bold-faced typographical lies.
Barbie name is what?
Showering with the guy.
A good hippie moment.
Into, across, and beyond the Spider-Verse with Steven and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
This time next week, I'll be sucking down pina coladas in a hot tub with six girls named Amber and Tiffany.
More like taking a shower with two guys named Jamal and Jesus, if you know what I mean.
Our pleasure, Rudy Toot Toot.
The Morning Stream. Well, of course, I am the supreme being. I'm not entirely dim.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for June 5th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hello, and happy Monday to you.
Yeah, and it's a... Let's see, did we end on a new month last week or not? I don't remember.
Our last episode last week was the first day of the month.
It was the first. Oh, right, because it was Diablo release, early release day. That's how I remember June 1st from here on out, you know, for the rest of my life.
Is it going to be Diablo day?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, yeah. I've been playing a lot. Here's the devious truth. Diablo 4 on its own is a really, really good game, a accomplishment on every level, and very addicting. When you add in the fact that I now, after about 2 minutes of having to make it work, now have it on a Steam Deck and can play it anytime I want, anywhere I want, that's devious, dude. That's freaking devious.
Wow.
Like, I am in bed last night, staying up way freaking too late. It's like 1, 2:30 in the morning, and I'm still playing.
Oh, wow.
I can't stop playing. It's so good.
I did get in and play some myself. Enjoyed it greatly.
Oh, that's good. How many levels have you achieved?
Three. I'm like at level 3.
Oh, that's very early. Okay. You're early on.
Very early.
I hit level 32 or something. Bo on Core is doing a hardcore run so he can be the 1,000th player. So they have this thing going. Yeah. Where if you are one of the first 1,000 people to play on hardcore, which is the mode that if you die, you're dead, right? You're done.
Okay, yep.
The goal is to get to 100. Level 100 is the cap currently in the game. And if you get to 100 and you do it within the first 1,000 people to do it, they'll put your name permanently on the Lilith statue that's in the middle of the big town in the middle of the game.
Oh, right. I remember, yes, okay.
Yeah, and so he's going for it. I think he's close. I don't know how close he is. The first guy to do it did it yesterday, but there's still a lot of room for, 1,000 people to do it.
Yeah.
And I watched one video of a guy who was 98, and he got all the way to 98, was doing great.
Yeah.
Two levels left.
Yeah.
Died.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh geez.
It was a little rough. A little bit rough, Brian. A little bit rough.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
Anyway, that game's great.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, it's dark, man.
That's what you want out of a Diablo game.
That's what you want out of a Diablo.
That's what I loved about 2 and 3. 3 is a little more jolly, a little more colorful, It's fine though. before. Ooh, man, they're back to the business. I just did a quest or a in-game cutscene where I don't want to give anything away, but somebody took a real let's just say they took a big sharp heavy object to the head. I wasn't expecting. It was a
oh really oh wow
that was okay. something. Anyway, they're getting their MA whatever rating out of there, so
yes,
they're so. Enjoying it. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Lots going on. Let's get things out of the way that we need to quick here. This thing.
Yeah. Stand back and check your personal belongings. It's time for the Morning Forum.
We have a winner from last week's Morning Forum.
And, yeah.
I would like to celebrate that person. Before I do that, though, this was a question about how many hours people game per week. And I underestimated the high end quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
The vast majority of this vote went to 40.3% who said 10 hours or more per week. Vast majority. Other people did. Somebody did a bunch of ASCII stuff and it messed up the list. Hold on.
A little ASCII dick in there. How many hours a week?
Exactly. Some of the low ones were like, let's see. One guy says 40 hours a week. I'm single and I have no kids. He was 0.5%. This other guy says, time is relative. 1 hour here is 7 years back on Earth, he says. Turd Ferguson.
Good. I like that.
Somebody's answer was just straight up Turd Ferguson, so that's pretty good.
Good.
But anyway, you know, a lot of you are like 6 hours is about 4% of you, 8 hours, 6.5%, but the vast majority, more than 10. Jeez. Anyway, I'm not saying you're a bunch of people with too much time on your hands. I'm just saying it's you surprised me. Everybody,
yeah,
you surprised me with your answers, but we have a winner. It is Shima, I think, or Ekshima,
Zashima.
Yeah, not quite sure how you say it, but Shashima, or however you say your name, you're our winner, and that means a free Frog Pants Fun Pack coming in the mail. There's often stickers, magnets, prints, that kind of stuff in there. So look forward to that. And we have a brand new form this week. And funny enough, it's about Diablo.
Funny enough.
The question is, what class did you start with in Diablo 4? So did you begin with the Barbarian, the Sorcerer, the Necromancer, the Rogue, the Druid? I even have an other because people like to type dumb things.
Well, you know the other is going to be, I have never played a Diablo 4 game in my life.
Yep. Can't wait for those
Diablo
responses.
Game, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Those are always my favorites.
But the Diablo 4 game.
If you head over there now and take the quiz, you could be in the running as well. All it does is ask for your answer on the classes and an email so we can tell who you are when you win. And that's it. Simple as that.
My prediction is that other will make up more than 50%. I think of the TMS listeners. Now, if you were to ask this question on Core, it'd probably be like, you know, 10% people responding have not played a Diablo game, but I feel like 50% are going to have another response.
Yeah,
whether it's a joke or whether it's
it's just the kind of crowd we have. That's how they work. So if you want to take part, frogpants.com/themorningforum, and off you go. You can do it on mobile, desktop, whatever. You're in. All right, that's it for that. Oh, shout out to the Utah Tad people, folks. We got together for Spider-Verse 2, which we'll talk more about when Steven gets here.
Yeah, yeah.
But let me just say to you something, Brian. Let me say this.
Yeah, okay.
You know, Fury Road sits way up here, right? Sitting up there.
Sure, yeah.
Uh-huh. Chilling. Pretty safely where it is. It sits safely in my mind where the position it holds in my esteem.
In an untouchable, I feel an untouchable position.
It's very hard for it to be moved from its chair.
Yeah.
Let's just say that movie got a little nervous this weekend.
Wow, really? Okay.
It didn't quite have to do it, but it is a neighbor now to Spider-Verse 2 or into the Spider-Verse.
Across
which,
the Spider-Verse.
Or across, sorry. So it's into, across, and I won't talk about the other. but that is one of the coolest things I've seen in a very long time. And I love the first one. I didn't think you could top the first one, to be honest.
Yeah.
My gosh. This thing is unfreaking believable.
So you feel like it topped it. I feel like I need to watch the first one again, but I hold that one in such high regard. This one I found enjoyable, but I don't know if I liked it.
I liked it more.
It certainly is so much eye candy, like so many little hidden Easter eggy kind of things.
Yeah. I just thought this was a better. It's like they belong together, so these aren't really like one's better, one's worse kind of a thing at all.
Yeah.
They're all gonna when this is all said and done, however many mm-hmm. movies this is, they mm-hmm. will they will be in really high esteem in my opinion, as mm-hmm. as a whole thing. But I thought the story in this was just a titch more mature, and it had, I don't know, it felt like the stakes were higher. Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved it. Gosh dang mm-hmm. it, I loved it so much. It was so good. Anyway, we hung out. We had a great time. Hobbs Dog was there. Kei Kitsumi, Hootie 42, Ryu Etami. I never say his name right, but he was there. In fact, his sons both work at the theater we went to. That was pretty cool.
That's cool.
Drove a little ways for this one, but it was fine. It was totally worth it. And loved it. And it's funny because we remembered yesterday, the only two movies we've seen in theaters since COVID are Spider-Man movies. We saw...
Oh, really? So the first... Or the... It was a No Way Home.
No
or
Way Home.
Like that,
yeah,
right?
No Way yeah. Home in 2021, and then this. That's it.
This was a new theater you've been wanting to try out, right?
Yeah, pretty new. I'd say it's maybe 6 months old or something, but it's really nice and clean and modern stuff and all that. We didn't get food there. We ate at a bar across the street that was very good and way too filling, and I way overdid it. but it was good. I forgot the name of the bar. Anyway, people should try it. They have this thing on there called the Chubby. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. It was so good. So good. It was like...
That feels like a burger place, or what was the Chubby?
It was a burger in the middle, and the top was a fully formed grilled cheese on Texas toast, and the bottom bun was another grilled cheese on Texas toast.
Oh, my God.
And then all the schmear in between... They also have endless fries, although I only did one because that's insane. Who would do that?
Yeah.
And it was really good. Kim got a similar thing that was really good. Somebody got a Monte Cristo. They had one there.
About time. So it's about time. Yeah, that's it. We've got those in Colorado here. I haven't been to one, but like a sports bar, right?
Yeah, it's like a sports bar. It's very good. It was really good food. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Had a great time there. I would go there again. A lot of the stuff around there was one of the few food places that was open. Most of them were closed. Partly because it was a Sunday, but also mainly because this is all brand new out there. Like the whole development is new and it all is kind of empty in a good way. It's hard to explain. It's just not overrun yet because people aren't, all the houses aren't up and stuff. And so it felt like, I don't know, we feel like it's like going to a Costco that's brand new in a remote area. Mm-hmm. And it's like so nice inside and no one's there. It's not packed with people. That's great. Good feeling. That's so cool. Anyway, it was really good. That movie rocks. Highly, 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 highly recommend.
Oh, so good. Yeah.
It was really good. We also saw the Victorines for a hot minute, and then they went to see you for a couple of extra minutes.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. How'd it go out there? You guys have fun?
It was great. It was such a good time seeing them. They are, they're good people. What else can you say about them? We decided to take them up to Boulder so they could see all the hippies up there. They'd never been to Boulder, and the location up against the mountains is so beautiful. The fog, we had rainy weather, so the clouds were really low, and you saw the tops of the Flatiron Mountains above the clouds, which is a really cool view. Kind of looked like Asgard. Took him to a chicken place in town here called The Post, then took him to it started as a kite store but it's evolved into like one of these places where you get every glow in the dark desk toy, practical joke. Like it's
books, like books about like weird, the kind of book, like coffee book table books that are like, here's all the weird Lego things or whatever, like collectible books and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like all that kind of thing. Everything that Archie McPhee sells, I think you can get there. The put tentacles on every finger kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, place called Into the Wind. If you come to Boulder, if you come to Denver, and we take you to Boulder, it's basically where we take everybody who comes to see us, especially if they've got kids, because kids, their eyes just turn into saucers when they walk into this place full of toys. Had a blast. Took them there, and then we decided on the way back to the car, let's get some ice cream. So we popped into a place called Little Man Ice Cream, or a store that sells a local favorite called Little Man Ice Cream. And we're sitting there eating, and Leslie overhears a mom who's got like four kids that she's juggling, and one of them, she says, honey, this place is called Boulder. A lot of people don't eat dairy. I'm sure they'll have something for you.
Well, that's a good hippie moment. I like that.
It's such a super duper hippie moment, but definitely had an absolutely great time.
Did you ever see any birds anywhere? Because when they were here, they were only here shortly. We had lunch with them.
Oh my God. Logan is so into birds.
He loves birds. Nobody tell him that birds are just drones. They're not real. Nobody tell him.
They're all spying. It's government spy technology.
Yeah.
We made an effort to see these, they saw a big full-on red robin. On their way out of the neighborhood, and he was checking out. We had a sparrow flying through or hopping through our tree up front, and
he was everything that fluttered by anywhere. He would stop. Like we were talking about, I don't know, drawing, or I can't remember what I was talking to him about, and he saw a bird fly by, and he immediately lost any interest in what I was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And went, and then
shiny.
Gotta go find out what that bird is.
Yep.
He was really into it.
That's about right. Yeah. Yep.
Find a kid who loves birds as much as Logan. Good luck.
Good luck. Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, well, good. I'm glad you guys got to hang out. They've been.
They get to see the studio. They get to see the 3D room. Leslie got to sit in the chair here and see what I see when I'm producing the show. Every little tiny figure on top of my monitors, every distracting piece of desk. Fidgety toy that I've got.
Sure. I saw a picture. I have proof she was there. Yeah.
You have proof. Proof.
Proof positive. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to them. The rest of the road trip. They're having like a big family road trip. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Lots of driving ahead of them. Yeah.
Chris is a good dude. Like that guy a lot. Mm-hmm. They're just good people. All right. Let's get to Battle Royale / Half Asses this morning. Let's get that in.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, let's get that in there. Let's roll that around. Let's see what comes out of it, because it's a lot of fun, and it means we pull our old pal Brian Dunaway in, who will answer the phone shortly and partake in today's jolly good time.
Yes.
There he is. That jaunty sort of game show adjacent music means one thing. And it's time for us to play the half asses. Joining us is Brian Dunaway, who does this every Monday and Wednesday. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. Hey, that mail from your freaking weird post office finally going to get to me today.
I know, it's finally coming through. Thank God.
Can you believe it? My gosh. Anyway.
It took long enough.
I don't know. What are you talking about? I'm going to sit here and play my RG35XX with my 3D printed controls and every single possible game known to man.
Yeah.
Let me see your controls. What colors you print that in? It looks like a pinkish color.
That red. Yeah. Like it's kind of pink. Yeah.
Did you get this translucent purple RG? So it's a handheld if you don't know what it is.
Yeah. Look at that. Oh, yeah.
It's a Game Boy style handheld we've all been talking about, all been hanging out with. I ordered something from Carl called Printed Solid, and I got a Commodore 64 brown and an Amiga 500 beige. I'm going to try to print a controller out to be all matching with my
I love that your 3D printer stuff is all like, like, 80s computer.
That's the whole reason why I ordered it. That was the whole qualification to get a 3D printer. I was ordering stands and things for my retro gaming stuff. And I eventually was like, okay, I'm spending like $30 a week or more on Etsy ordering stands and stuff. I'm like, how much does the 3D printer cost? I'm like, okay, this makes sense.
Yeah.
So I did
nothing wrong with any of that.
Yeah. I did it.
I think it's great that you're doing all that stuff. Plus, we all benefit from it, because occasionally he'll send me something cool and I like it.
Yeah. So. You should get your little controller, handheld controller thing when you get yours, Scott. You'll have yours up. It'll be a dark brown to match your controllers.
Yeah. That's right,
black,
baby.
Whatever it is.
Blacker. Yeah, whatever it is.
Blackish.
Blackish. Brackish.
Mm-hmm. Blackish.
Brackish.
It'll be here today. I'm very excited. By 2, they say, which, whatever. Last time they said by, to last week, so maybe who knows.
Yeah, I'm glad I sent it priority mail. I'm glad I spent the extra $7.
Yep. Well, well done. I owe you for that. Hey, we're going to play a game, y'all. We're going to get the half asses going. Brian's going to explain these rules and who we're playing for and all that fun stuff. Brian, take it away.
Heck yeah. Welcome to the morning. Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you two the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers. Three of the answers are correct. Three of them are bold-face lies. Depending on how confident they feel with each category, they can provide one, two, or three guesses, but if any of those guesses are wrong, they get 0 points for that round. Get one right, you get a point. Get two right, gets you 3 points. And get all three correct, you'll get 5 freaking points. The player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant, and I've pulled some contestants from around the globe because they're not able to listen live. Aww. Scott, you're going to be playing for Jim Keen in London, Ontario.
Sweet.
It's in Canada. Brian, you're going to be playing for Daniel, who goes by a glitched pixel, in Leicester in the United Kingdom.
Oh, very nice. Oh,
nice. I believe we know who that is. Hey, you said bald-faced lie. I always thought it was bald-faced lie. Is that not the same thing? Is that two different things?
Oh, might be bald-faced. You know, I might have been saying it wrong my entire life. I thought it was bold-faced.
You're probably right. I like typography. I'm probably wrong.
And I want my lies to be in bold-faced so I can easily identify them.
That makes more sense. It's like in the news. That's a bold-faced lie. It's a bold-type lie.
It is
mine doesn't make any sense.
So it is bald-faced according to...
But that doesn't make any sense. What's a bald-faced lie?
According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary...
Yeah.
Right.
It says, let's see, the fancy. Get to the point. Here it is. Yeah, it is bald faced. Bald.
And what's the etymology? Why bald?
It does. Let's see. Lies come in variety of types: white lies, big lies.
But mostly from people with no facial hair.
There's also barefaced lie, which was a thing for a long time. So barefaced. But anyway, the term bald faced, less commonly bald, bold face. See, began to describe lies and liars. This started in 1948, was the first known thing where it says here, the fanciful leaflet says that the insurance is comprehensive and pays literal benefits. But that is a bald-faced lie, experts say. The actual policy is
the longest phrase to explain. Yeah, we get the use in a sentence.
I know what it means, but what does it mean?
It does say you can use it...
Because it's smooth and convincing.
Yeah. I think we should rename this segment the bald-faced lies.
Let's do it.
There we go. I like that. Yeah. The morning bald-faced lies.
Bald-faced lies.
Yep. I'm in. Sign me up. All right. Anyway, now that that's cleared up.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm still on my card. The lies are actually bold-faced. So
bold-faced. Good, good, good. I like yours though. That's smart. It's like the news is lying to you. Using that bold font.
Exactly. Like
so excited. Yeah.
Yes. The the birds are really drones. All right. Let's get to question number one. Let's start with some science. Which of these are gases that make up more than 1% of the air that you breathe? So you're breathing some air right now, I hope. Which of these are gases that you're breathing in that they make up more than 1%?
Before or after I farted?
Well, funny you ask. Let's get to the answers. Water vapor, argon gas, methane gas, might answer your question, carbon dioxide, nitrogen gas, and oxygen gas.
Oh my gosh.
This is all bullshit.
Make up more than 1% of the air we breathe.
1%. Make up more than 1% of the
more
air
than 1%. Okay. See, I know some of these displace oxygen that we require, and I know what we breathe is not 100% oxygen.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm worried about though? This says oxygen gas is one of the options.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And is oxygen a gas?
That's what I'm worried about too. I'm worried of some bullshit in here too.
Well, I mean, is it a solid?
It's not a solid or a liquid.
Is it a liquid?
Right.
Yeah, I know, but you could say,
but is it
you
a
could
gas?
Say something weird like gas, and we'd be like, is that a real gas? Can you say gas?
Well, I hope it isn't argon gas. That would kill you. All right, I'm making my way.
That's what's
going to
make me wonder about the argon gas. I'm like, how much of it is probably in there, and how much displaces enough oxygen to you suffocate?
I don't know. Well, I've chosen mine, you slacker.
How many did you choose?
Three.
Scott's locked in with
three.
11.
Damn it!
I chose all six.
Fine, I'm going with two.
Hedge my bets.
Yeah, going for everything. All right. We'll see how you did.
There you go. All right. He's locked in. Let's get to it here. Here are the answers. You guys both settled in on carbon dioxide and oxygen gas. Carbon dioxide actually makes up about 0.04%. So nitrogen gas, neither of you settled on, and oxygen gas and water vapor. Water vapor making up to 4% of what you breathe. 78% of what you breathe is nitrogen gas. Oxygen only 21%.
Damn it.
Lots of nitrogen. Tons of nitrogen.
I figured there was at least a percent of carbon dioxide.
I thought we were like feeding the trees. Sounds like we're a bunch of jerks.
Yeah.
We are
carbon, less than 100% carbon dioxide. Why do the trees even need us? No wonder they
don't need us.
Right. Exactly.
They don't need us. 0.93%
is argon gas, and methane, unless you're in Scott's basement, is 0.00017%.
See, I think that's bullshit because they probably did this in a lab.
Yeah. Well, a clean lab.
Where there's no farts, everybody's wearing a suit.
Because didn't cow farts opened up the ozone layer back in the day or something? Or no, that was hairspray.
No, that was
something.
our high hairspray.
That's right.
Yeah.
But we still.
That was a sad decade when everybody found out their hairspray was killing us all.
Yeah. But then that stuff sort of went away, or the kind of aerosols that were used, and it fixed
the
whole.
Yeah, they took it away, and the whole healed.
Yeah, the whole hole. Nature healed itself.
No more Aquanet ruining the
That's a real shame.
All right, let's get to question number two. We're all excited about a movie coming out this summer called Barbie. Maybe we're not.
I am.
But my aunt is. She's very excited.
Aww. I'm excited. I think it looks weird. And I like Greta Gerwig a lot, so I'm actually kind of excited about
it. So we'll see. This should be really fun. Parts of Barbie's full name. So which of these are parts of Barbie's full freaking name? Marie, Fairchild, Barbara, Barbarella, Millicent, and Roberts.
Parts of her full name.
Three of these are parts of Barbie's full name.
Three of these are right?
Three of these are right, yes.
Oh, my God.
She's got one of those long names. Maria, Barbarella, Fairchild, Millicent, Barbara, Roberts.
Right, exactly.
Barbie. Like
Weird. All right. I chose mine.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. You slow down. I'm reading and trying to rationalize these things. I'm trying to rationalize.
It's fine.
All right.
Barbarella, obviously not, right? Because, I mean, that's...
I mean, obviously not.
Obviously.
Right?
Maybe not.
Obviously. All right. You guys both figured out that, her first name, Barbie, is short for Barbara. Very good. You guys probably both thought her last name was Fairchild. Barbara Fairchild.
Damn it.
But it's not. Her middle name is Millicent. Her last name is Roberts. Her name is Barbara Millicent Roberts.
Oh, it was so close.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was. If I just would have chosen. The Fairchild sounded like a 50s ass thing to say.
So. It did.
Yeah, but
exactly.
So does Millicent, really.
Yeah, good point.
I was trying to see if you were doing Maleficent. I was trying to figure that out. And I was like, no, maybe.
Barbarella Maleficent Roberts.
Yep.
Yeah.
All comes back to Disney.
That'd be great. All right, let's get to the final question here. You guys walking into this one with 0 points, so bet accordingly. Ooh, this is a strategy time. Strategery coming into effect right now. Music videos that use animation. So, you're watching your MTV and a little animated music video comes on.
I want my MTV.
Which of these are that? In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel. Nice and Slow by Usher. Heartless by Kanye West. One Week by Bare Naked Ladies. Crazy by Gnarls Barkley. And Money for Nothing by Dire Straits.
I'm locking in.
I'm locking in too. I'm locking in as well.
Yeah, I only know one of these for sure.
One of them.
Yeah, you guys both did exactly the same thing.
One of them is a total misdirect. That first one pisses me off a little bit.
Yes, exactly, because they want you to think, of course. You guys both settled on Money for Nothing. You guys both got that right.
I don't remember the Kanye West video at all. I knew that, so I didn't.
Yeah,
know.
Heartless Crazy? By Kanye West and Crazy by Gnarls Barkley. I didn't know these either.
Anything about?
But they wanted you to think Sledgehammer, of course, for that first one. And I've never seen a music
No Paula Abdul.
No DJ Crazy or DJ Scat Cat.
Yeah.
Or
BS.
Or any Tool.
So was it Sledgehammer was the Peter Gabriel one was all?
Sledgehammer was
Sledge. Yeah. Nothing was going around his head and stuff.
That was
Sledge.
Wild. Did you know, I don't know if you guys knew this, that was Ray Park? Nick Park We're over there at the studio.
Go ahead, Wallace and Gromit.
Yes,
get it out.
Those
Wallace
guys.
And Gromit.
Yeah, but what's the name of the studio? Aardman. That's who it is. Aardman.
Aardman. Yeah, Aardman. Yeah, studios. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Fun. Fun side note.
That is cool.
Yeah.
So I didn't know
it does
the answer.
Mean that we have a. It does mean that we have a tie, and we need to break that tie.
Let's do it.
Do we? Do we really?
So yes, we do. We absolutely do.
We have to. We're required.
We're going to do it with this question here. How many ridges are on the edge of a U.S. quarter? I'm going to let Brian answer, and Scott, you will do higher or lower. So
there's only one ridge.
Just
one.
How many ridges on the edge of a U.S. quarter? And I'm not giving you any time to count.
Okay, well, give me a ticket account, mother. Okay. 198.
All right. 198 is incorrect. Scott, is the actual answer higher or lower than 198?
I was hoping you'd go low because that's easier to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I tried to make it hard.
I don't even know what those are for. Is it to grip it? Is that why we do it? Or is
so it doesn't
decorative?
Roll away?
Is it decorative? I don't know. They can still roll
probably
away.
Probably grippy. Yeah, keep it from slipping out of your fingers like those stupid nickels.
So, all right. Seems too many. I'm going to say less. Less than.
You're a moron.
It is lower. Correct. Oh. Yeah, very good, Scott. There are 119 on a quarter. There's
we
one
wouldn't
less
let me
than
count.
A dime, 118 on a dime, and 150 on a half dollar.
Wow.
I love that you thought that I had a quarter out counting the bridges or something.
Yes, exactly.
Like, no time to count.
When was the last time you actually had a physical change in your pocket? Well done, Scott. That means you won the prizes for your contestant, Jim Keane. You're going to be getting a copy of The Invisible Hand and Behind the Frame, The Finest Scenery on Steam. But Daniel, Glitched Pixel, you're going to be getting a copy of Windjammers 2 sent directly to you in Leicester.
Oh, very nice. Windjammers 2 is awesome. A sequel to an old ass game from the Neo Geo era of games. Well done.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
That's good news for everybody.
Good job, Scott. You did a great job.
Thanks, dude.
Good
thanks.
Job. Good job.
Yeah. I feel pretty good about it. Also, I don't think people appreciate enough the idea of how original coins, like these days, computers make it easy. But original coins to have equidistant total number of ridges around that coin, that's a huge machining pain in the ass to get it right, I mean. Yeah. So, like, I don't know much about coin making. But I know today you'd do like a 3D model, and then you'd go,
you'd use math and have it automatically place ridges around each of those spots.
Right. Yeah. But back in the day, you got some old guy with a powdered wig going, well, shit, I got to somehow do this.
I love your revisionist history.
Everybody in the olden days is wearing a powdered wig.
That's right.
Powdered wig. And he had to sit there with a file and go one, two.
Oh, no, this one's too close. These are touching. I have to start over.
A cornstarch powdered wig.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's how they kept their pits dry, because they didn't take baths for like 4 days apart or whatever it was.
That's right. Yes.
Why 4 days?
I don't know. I just made that up. I just threw it out.
Not 7 days?
No.
Is it Tuesday? I don't know. How many days has it been since the shower?
You would think it'd be easier to pick a day like a Saturday and just
like
do
a
it.
Week, yeah. But 4 days, that sounds right.
Well, the good news is we got winners all around, except Dunaway, who lost horribly. It was a horrible loss for him.
I do feel bad today.
Yeah, feel bad. But the person you played for still did all right. They came out clean on the other side. So congratulations on that. And I look forward to doing this again with you Wednesday, Brian. Also getting that thing in the mail today. And thirdly, go eat a chicken. All right.
Now you.
Bye. All right. It's not that much of a rude thing to say. Go eat a chicken.
It isn't. No. Go eat a chicken. Go eat a half chicken, deep fried with a delicious barbecue sauce.
Yeah. Oh, and this place, this bar, they have Hobbs Dog order it. He ordered a what were they called? They were Monte Cristo egg rolls.
Ooh.
But they were basically just like, just imagine the stuff that's in a Monte Cristo, it's in there, and then you get the hard shell
turkey and ham and cheese.
But they're little self-contained little units. They were great.
What kind of dipping sauce was it? A jelly, or was it a sweet or a savory dipping sauce?
It was a jelly, some sort of strawberry-ish thing. Yeah, it was very good. And he bought those for the table. It was really nice of him.
That was the best thing at Bennigan's, man. That was the thing that could have saved Bennigan's is somehow... Yeah. Somehow harvesting the organs of Monte Cristo's for
and
all.
And they are truly dead, right? No Bennigan's are left. Or did any of them stand?
You know, there could be, it could be like Blockbuster where there's one Bennigan's hanging out in Reston, Virginia or something.
Yeah. See, that would be cool to go. Oh, they still have a website? Hold on.
Yeah, they do. American Fair, Irish Hospitality. That's what I'm saying. I mean, ooh, totally different logo.
Yeah, but very different.
Notice their homepage. What does it showcase? The freaking Monte Cristo.
Of course. Oh, they're all over the place still. They got look at that. Locations Ohio, all over Texas,
Michigan.
It's Texas. Not as this isn't as much as it used to be though.
Funny, like only looks like 12 locations in the U.S., but looks like 20 locations.
Yeah,
coming soon. 25 locations around the country: Dubai, Doha. Mexico,
yeah. All around
Cyprus,
the world, Dubai, yeah,
Bahrain,
a couple of Mexico locations, Cyprus. Yeah. Wow, look how many Cyprus locations! It's for four.
I know
of them.
It's like super popular in Cyprus.
All right, well, the Monte Cristo,
Greece,
the Irish
nailed
are,
to the wall, random shit nailed to the wall. There,
the Irish always figure it out.
Right,
okay, let's do a couple of quick news stories before we take our break today. Here you go. Time for the news, and it's brought to you by
Soundography. We have a special episode we're going to be posting this week. Hammond and I watched the Chess live. So you remember the Broadway play Chess, all about chess.
I don't remember this.
Well, and also diplomatic relations between the U.S. And Russia.
I have never heard of this Broadway show before.
Well, you know, you have because you've heard the song One Night in Bangkok by Murray Head, and that comes from the play Chess. This is written by the two B's from ABBA, Bjorn and Benny from ABBA, and starred Murray Head in the original Broadway run, but has featured a bunch of different people. I'm trying to remember who was in the movie one that we watched. It was somebody. It was the guy who plays Roger in Rent.
Oh.
It was great. It was really, really good. Anyway, Chess, the movie, the live show, the movie this week on Soundography.
All right, check it out, everybody, wherever you get your podcast. Check this out. A Vancouver bakery, thanks to Brian Ibbett, who submitted this story.
Sure.
A Vancouver bakery owner says she caught a thief breaking in on video. He swept the floor, took some selfies, and left with 6 cupcakes.
Oh, nice. Yeah, of course. Canada thieves, they leave things better than they found them.
Yeah, I like this. This is actually not bad. A Canadian business owner woke up Friday to learn her bakery had been broken into, and the security footage confirmed it. But it incited more laughter than fear. Irma Irvine, owner of the Sweet Something in Vancouver. I don't know if any of you Canadians have been there.
Canada!
But maybe you have. I don't know.
Yeah.
Shared a video on TikTok, showed a man breaking into her bakery in the early hours Friday morning, and as seen in the video, the suspect shatters the glass door, but seems to realize this mess he has made and attempts to sweep it up before continuing his pastry heist. And we have some video of this. Let me play.
So nice. Like he sweeps up. Yeah, this was sent to me by Don and Tyler Kwan. And they thought, oh, this is perfect for TMS. And I agree. It's such a funny.
It's a good story.
It's like almost heartwarming, even though, yeah, he broke glass. He stole some cupcakes. But it's still like, oh, what a nice thief.
Yeah, look at him. He's like, oh, shoot. I guess I'll take care of that. And all he takes is cupcakes.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't break into some safe.
No money, didn't rip up in the register or anything like that.
No, that's just somebody got a sweet tooth going on a Friday morning.
I mean, their cupcakes must be really good, right? Yeah. I would assume.
Yeah. She says that her mindset quickly changed. It was hilarious. I was in stitches watching the footage, she says. The culprit even left behind a couple of selfies in the store's iPhone supporting orange glasses. Now is an inspiration for cookies and cupcakes at the Sweet Something. You can buy cookies that look like his sunglasses.
So... that the store has an iPhone. I'm guessing it's part of the register, like a Stripe or something, Stripe payment thing, but apparently took selfies on the store's iPhone as opposed to on his own.
Yeah.
Getting caught on camera.
Which, by the way, is a great way to tell people who you are and what you look like.
I would think so. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. The story doesn't say much about, did they, f- Did they catch the guy? Hold on. He left with only six chocolate champagne cupcakes, provided the baker with the opportunity to produce a viral video. Yeah, they don't.
Mm-mm.
They never arrested him. They don't know anything else. There's nothing else about that. So no. As much as it's like kind of like funny that he swept up, that he took a selfie, all this stuff, it still seems like, you know, the law probably demands you got to at least go find the guy and slap him on the wrist or something.
Like, maybe you don't press charges super. Oh my God, he's totally drunk. Like watching this TikTok.
Yeah.
He's like trying to break through the glass door just using his elbow. Finally uses his foot and gets through it.
I think she's probably, or he is probably, weed's legal up there.
He puts his hand on the glass. He's totally drunk.
I think he's got the weed munchies. That's what this looks like to me.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Canada, you can just go.
No, this was an unplanned. And he just sits there. He's sitting on the chair in the place.
The way he's banging into that door. Yeah, look at him.
He looks hammered. He totally does.
Yeah, this guy's five sheets to the wind.
Yeah.
Oh, and exactly. He's sweeping it. Oh, that's adorable. That's actually a cute little shop, though. I like it.
It is.
Yeah, I'd go there.
It's like your prototypical, you know, checkered floor. I want to see the selfies, though. How recognizable is he in the selfie?
He does a front and side shot. They're almost like mug shots. It's in later.
Oh, really?
In the
is it lower? Oh, it's in the lower part. Look at that. Yeah. Oh, hilarious.
Yeah, those two shots are almost without the sunglasses.
He'd
you know?
Be pretty easy to pick out.
Yeah, unless the Clark Kent story is real and nobody can tell the difference. I think that dude is easy to find. But anyway, good luck to all of them in their pursuit of happiness. One final story.
Oh, apparently, the cupcake thief apologized, offers to pay for damages from bizarre bakery break-in. So apparently he has reached out to apologize.
Even better. Yeah. I don't know if he's still, like, does that still mean you have to, like, get a cop involved or anything?
Probably. I mean, if they choose not, they probably won't choose to press charges if he pays for everything. And it'll just be like, all right, well, don't do it again, dummy.
Yeah. Please don't drink weed drink, or I don't know, whatever he did. Let's move on to this one. Please wear clothes in your digital driver's license photo. Says Georgia officials. Yeah, I agree too. I feel like this is a smart thing to do, and most people should do it just by natural.
I mean, how do you not at the DMV, right? I guess we'll find out in this article.
We sure will. The driver's license is not the right place for a spicy selfie, according to Georgia officials. The Georgia Department of Driver's Services took to Facebook Tuesday to remind drivers to keep their clothes on while taking photos for a digital driver's license or ID. Why are they taking their own photos?
Yeah, I guess, is this like a during COVID, take your own photo, send it in, and we'll approve it and put it on your driver's license?
I mean, they're doing it now. They must have some kind of digital. Oh, so.
Weird.
So there's a digital driver's license, an ID, which is different than.
Yeah, we've got that here in Colorado, but it did let me take my own selfie. That's right. For my digital ID here, it didn't use the one that I have on the. On my license.
But your license, you still have that one as a separate thing.
I still have that one, but you can now, at some places, and I think the airport's going to soon be one of them, you can use your phone ID as your driver's license at the airport to check in instead of having to take your physical driver's license in with you.
Yeah, it says here they are intended to speed up the process at select TSA checkpoints. Mm-hmm. The digital document does not serve as a replacement for your physical ID, according to the website. But they do want people to put on some damned clothes.
Please do. Yes, exactly.
What is your problem, naked humans? Quit doing that.
Yeah, there was something this last time we flew, maybe it was to Vegas, where we just had to scan, like basically it scanned our ticket. Is that right? Yeah, scanned our ticket and he didn't need to see our ID because the ticket face scan on our digital ticket was enough.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah, it would have been probably your trip to Vegas, right?
I think so. I think that was the last time I flew anywhere.
Which you'll be doing again soon.
Yep. About a week and a half.
Is that all it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. This month's already gone.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to have to figure something out for FilmSec because, I mean, come on. We're going to be doing it a Saturday morning after a Friday night in Vegas, and it's an hour earlier for me in Vegas to do it. I've got to figure something
out. We got to figure something out. I agree.
I'm going to pre-record all of my stuff for TMS, and I'm just going to have it on a soundboard, and I'm going to go, Oh yeah. Oh well, you know, this Kate Beckinsale. Yeah. What about? Oh yeah, that's really great. Uh huh.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just hit a little. Yeah. I'll hit buttons as you go. You can give them all to me. Give me all those files. I'll just make a little like.
You'll just enter it. A little AI can control my.
Yeah. Why not? Well, let's embrace the future and make film sock.
Exactly. I already know that I have to do, if I'm going to do a song intro, I have to do it before Vegas because I'm not going to have all the stuff with me that I need to be able to do that.
Yeah, you should pre-record it. That's what you should do.
I will pre-record it before I go out
there. Love it. Yeah. Love it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Major Spoiler Zone Steven Schleicher. A little more Spider-Man talk. No spoilers, anyone. We won't do story spoilers. But we will talk about it, its impact, its performance at the box office, and so on. And after that, maybe a little talk about the Eisners this year. It's the comic book industry's big show. So we'll see how that all goes. We got some more stuff on the back end as well, but we got to play this song. So let's play it. What do you got?
Sure. So last week on Friday, an album that we played an early song from called The Perfume of Decay by a band called Tiger Cub finally came out Friday. We played the song called Swoon from that before. There's so much from this album that we totally love. This is a UK band, UK-based rock and roll trio from Brighton in the UK, home of Brighton Rock and one of the Helter Skelters. That is the new song is Play My Favorite Song. This is from the brand new album, The Perfume of Decay. Here is Tiger Cub.
Tuxedo?
Yes.
Really? Well, if that's a fib, bill me for the rental.
So what's that supposed to do? Make me love you?
And we've returned. Tell me what that was again, please.
Sure. That is Play My Favorite Song by Tiger Cub from their brand new album, The Perfume of Decay.
Ew. Gross.
Gross. It stinks.
I mean, you know, some people's decay is another person's, I don't know, lovely fragrance. I don't know. I don't want to yuck anyone's yum, you know?
No.
For all I know, there are people that love the smell of decaying dead flesh. And maybe that guy is Steven Schleicher.
And now welcome Steven to the show. He's a huge freaking nerd.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Hey, speaking of a guy who loves a good stinky corpse, it's Steven Schleicher joining us today. Hi, Steven.
Stinky corpses.
Stinky
the
corpse.
Rottener, the better.
That's right. Hey, how's
or is it more rotten?
More rotten. Hey, how's your flooding deal? You all good now?
The carpet is back down now, and now I just need to go and replace some bookshelves.
Okay. Ugh. How about, did you lose any books or comics or long boxes or anything?
I didn't, no, I don't keep comics in, well, the comics that I have are in a spinner rack, so nothing happened there, but I did have some nice art books that also sucked up the water, but they have dried out and are fine.
Okay. Oh, good.
Okay, good.
I mean, they're a little, you know, warped here and there, but they're still okay.
Anybody who's had a little bit of a, not money pit, but a house with stuff, you know?
Just a house. This is the thing that you,
you just have a, does anyone out there have a house? Let me tell you, houses are a pain in the ass. Okay. I'm probably
people think home ownership is great. It's not.
It's not.
I mean, it's got its you got to take care of the you got to take care of your maintenance around the house.
Yeah.
If your roof goes bad, you've got to replace that. If you got termites, you got to replace that. You got to take care of bugs if you got that. You got utilities you have to take care of. Your lawn if you have a lawn, all that stuff. Your landlord, let them take care of it. Just be happy that you're living in a rented apartment somewhere that you don't have to deal with this.
Yeah, I might be.
And then let's not get started on how much your taxes go up each year because some guy just drives back and by and goes, oh yeah, let's just up their property value 30% and tax them on that.
Yeah, I can tell this has not bothered you at all. You're having a good time with it. It's all good.
Oh,
no issues.
I think in California, somebody who's from California can correct me. You don't pay taxes. So when you buy your house, if you buy it for $100,000,
yeah.
I mean, if you want to live in a hovel, sure. But if you pay $100,000 for a house in California, that's how much you're taxed until you sell the house, at which point, whatever the difference is in the resale of your house, let's say you sell it for, you know, $1 million, mm-hmm. then you pay taxes on that $1 million that you've sold it for.
Right.
That seems like a heck of a lot better than, oh, last year you paid $3,000 for your property tax. This year you're going to pay $7,000 for your property tax.
Yeah, property taxes are rackety. I hate them. Mm-hmm. I don't like them. I should pay that stuff when a sale happens, either when I buy it or when I sell it. That should be what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a racket. Yeah.
It is.
Another American racket.
That's why today I'm announcing I'm running for president of the United States.
That's sweet. All right, 2024.
Our business will be to do away with property taxes.
No, that's the time to
you
do
sell
it.
Your home.
It's all ramping up. You got to get ready for the debates and all that stuff. You all set to go? What party are you going to?
I'm going to run as an independent.
Okay,
sweet. Because we know that they've had great success over the years.
Yeah, they've done great. They always win.
Yep.
Always a big winner, that party that's unaffiliated.
Yes.
All right. Well, it's good to have you here. And I assume that you, among many of our compatriots, also saw Spider-Man 2 or Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 2.
Across
the Spider-Verse. I keep getting it wrong.
Into, Across, and Beyond.
There you go.
And before people get freaked out about the third film, this was already announced a long time ago
that
these movies are parts. Are two-parter.
Okay,
yeah, exactly.
I'm glad that was true. I'm glad that's true so we can talk about it openly, but I will tell you that I missed that spoiler somehow, and when I went into the movie yesterday, there was a point, by the way, longest animated film in history, I think. It's like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I don't want to say it feels long because that sounds like a negative, but it feels like you get a lot for your money.
You do get a lot for your money. I didn't feel long to me, though. I felt right to me, and I still didn't want it to end. But there was a point in it where I went, hold on a minute. I know I've been here at least 2 hours, and they haven't sewn this up. So I suddenly went, oh my gosh, are they going to do like an Endgame freaking Infinity War kind of deal here? Mm-hmm. Sure enough. And I had no idea. I had no idea how to be continued thing going on.
I will say this, coming from comic books, a lot of people have already said, well, if this is a two-parter, maybe I'll just wait for the second one. And then I'll go see them both together or watch them together. Don't do that. Because if you come from comic books, if you don't go and buy the first issue and you wait for the trade, there's a good chance that trade's never going to come out. So if everybody doesn't go and see this movie now, there's a good chance that Beyond the Spider-Verse won't be arriving in theaters next March.
It won't even exist. It won't even exist. Yeah. Look, you're actually probably okay, everybody. But I would say this. I wouldn't put it off. I think it is thing to
it's
see
really
this
good.
Year. It's so freaking good.
If we were to rank the greatest superhero movies of all time, mm-hmm. it mm-hmm. would be Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, mm-hmm. Spider-Man Homecoming, mm-hmm. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Not for me.
In that order.
Not for me. Here's how it goes.
You're wrong.
It goes.
You're wrong.
We got Into and Across sharing the same chair for me for first place.
Okay.
Then in second place, shit. Where do I go after that? I don't
Dark Knight? I think I put Dark Knight over, for me, Dark Knight over Homecoming.
Oh, I definitely would put, the main thing I came away with was, you know what? I'd be all right. And it doesn't have to be this exact same style. I'd be all right if all comic book movies were as cool as this. Like, just let's animate everything.
Sure. Yeah. So I mean, cool. the art in this is very, very good.
Oh,
the
incredible
storytelling, yeah. And I'll just let people know, this is a dark movie. This is a downer of a movie. It is two superhero movies as The Empire Strikes Back was to Star Wars.
Yeah, it's a good way of putting it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you are a parent, oh man, this movie picks up a big old omnibus edition of Dan Slott's Omnibus Spider-Man run and smacks you in the head with it hard.
Mm-hmm.
And just says, hey, these are the difficulties of being a parent. And if you are a child, it also has themes of coming out, of acceptance, of being told that you're not who you're supposed to be, or telling you who you are supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's big, big, deep thoughts on determinism, you know, whether your fate is determined by certain things.
Right.
And there are some smacks in this. There's one particular character that the creators have come out and said, yes, this character is based upon every dumbass comic book person who wants to rant about how this is not how it was in the comic books.
Yeah, you can feel the subtext on all those levels. And I actually think the thing that makes it work, when I got out of the theater with these other tadpoolers, my first thought was, I always feel this way, when a movie is that gripping as it was for me, and it's, you know, everyone's going to feel different about it. Mm-hmm. I think it's because there are very specific themes that are just really close to home for people, like mm-hmm. family, parents, being a kid, trying to figure your way through things. Spider-Man's always been about that, right? But this even went further. Also, nobody told me Shea Whigham was in this, and I about lost my shit when I heard Gwen Stacy's dad talking, and I went, oh, hold on.
Yeah.
It's freaking Shea Whigham. And I was right. And I was stoked because I love that guy.
Done.
But all of these themes are so relatable, and they're packaged in one of the most wildly fantastic visual things I've ever seen in my freaking life.
You are overwhelmed with visual stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it can be, if you're not ready for that, you may be overwhelmed. Like we were going to maybe take Van because Carter got con crud from her trip to London. Mm. And she couldn't use her ticket. And so for a hot second, we were almost taking Van because he loves Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad we didn't. I don't think a four-year-old can handle the stimulation of that thing. It's too much.
No. But I mean, yes.
He'll love it later.
Visually beautiful.
Yeah.
Even, I mean, so the very first, you know, Into the Spider-Verse was very much a visual treat and very much used animation to tell a story. This time we use animation and the art style and the color palette to tell you a little something about the worlds in which these characters inhabit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's also very, very, very amazing.
Yeah, it's really something. Spider-Punk alone, I just was like,
yeah. Like you said, like, and this was a big thing with the first one, and they do it so much more in the second one, is the not just the color palette, but the style around mm-hmm. every character. It's almost like they had a different artist doing each.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I was actually going to ask you guys, and maybe Steven, you'll know this, or maybe Brian will, but when they would do the Gwen Stacy stuff in her world, her mm-hmm. her dimension, mm-hmm. that was a very different, very, very different art style.
Yeah, very much watercolor.
Pastel-y,
yeah. Yeah, and I wondered.
I really like you could see like when the colors would change, you would see them run down
they
the wall.
Yeah. It was really, really good. And also very dirty and quick, like the couch was barely rendered and mm-hmm, you know mm-hmm. things like that behind them, the background elements, but they're also kind of in a way of the most flat colors of or the most flat imagery of the movie when she was there. And I wondered if that was an homage to whoever did the Spider-Gwen run or something that I don't know about, you know.
Jason Latour, the creator of Spider-Gwen, the only thing he has on his Twitter feed is just links to his Substack, and I wasn't going to do a deep dive into his Substack. Now, I didn't go and check on the artist and see what they had to say about the Gwen Stacy, but if you look at the covers to any Spider-Gwen comics, it is very much that color palette.
Okay.
That's cool.
And I want to live in Mumbai Hatton or whatever they called it.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah,
no kidding.
So badass.
Very, very cool.
Except for the traffic. That sucked. But
so a couple of things. Movie did really, really well at the box office. $120 million here in the United States, which, I don't know, remember back when the very first Spider-Man movie, the Tobey Maguire movie came out, yeah, and people lost their minds because it made like $110 million on its opening weekend.
Yeah.
Like it had never been done before. And now here we have the animated version, you know, doing better than that. It's just kind of cool where we've come from, but also, you know, records are, I guess, meant to be broken.
Yeah.
In that sense.
Yeah, for
sure. The other thing. Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say there is another thing that has been brought up that people have complained about, and it is not necessarily a single movie theater issue. I don't know if it's been corrected over the weekend, but the first couple of showings, people were complaining that the first 20 minutes of the film were almost impossible to hear the dialogue because the music was being driven so hard, leading people to think that maybe the mix of the movie was bad. Turns out it's just the movie theater projectionist not turning up the volume correctly. Mm-hmm. This is something that is a known thing. I forget whether it was Miller or Lord had sent a bunch of instructions on what's the proper setting for you to turn the volume up in your theater to not have this problem happen. But it did happen to a lot of people. And so I was afraid that our movie theater, the AMC Classic, which I started thinking classic means that it's an older theater.
Yeah.
It actually means the last time they updated our movie theater was when the first Avatar movie came out.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah. Oh, God. Okay. Yeah.
And I was worried to death that I was going to run into this audio issue, and I did not.
Yeah, I was going to say that would track based on theater for you. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah.
So no, just let people know that it's not an issue with the movie. It's an issue with the theater that you're in if you run into that.
When we got to the one we were at, a couple of them who had seen the movie in that theater already, that exact theater, said, yeah, we had that problem. So I was worried. I was like, oh crap, we're gonna have this problem again. No problem, they fixed it. So
yeah, okay, good.
It was
no
all good.
Problem with the Draft House.
Yeah, the soundtrack is insane. A couple of us afterwards were talking about, we got like Tron, what was that Tron movie, Tron
Legacy,
which is not the movie itself, but the soundtrack to that movie, which was, you know, amazing at the time and still is. I was getting those vibes out of this thing, and maybe it was just the combination of what music they used when they did certain things visually, even though, and Brian, I think, said it last week, and I'll reiterate it, there is no post credit stinger in this movie.
Correct.
But don't leave during those first initial credits, because it is the most badass painterly cool thing you've ever seen.
Style and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so good. Gosh dang it, it's good. I want to go see it again. And I was so sad Carter couldn't go. Here's a funny story real quick. So Carter, she's in the Netherlands, right? Hanging out with the Dutch a couple weeks ago. And the movie opened there. And she was like, cool. The rule is over there, for the most part, Dutch movies are in English with Dutch subtitles, the ones that come from here.
Oh, cool.
Most of the time. It's like
the rule. Oh, yeah. No. I'm sensing there's an exception.
Turns out there is. She goes to this movie. It's a fancy place. They give you like a charcuterie thing. It's like this weird thing. They sit down to watch the movie. It's her and her two friends from here in the States. And they sit down to watch this thing, and it starts, and it's all dubbed in Dutch. They have a full Dutch cast doing Dutch. So
English subtitles or no subtitles?
No subtitles at all. Nothing.
Oh no.
So she just had to Urka Borka Bika the whole time. Well, I guess they they left early because after they ate their stuff, they're just like, well, there's no point. We don't understand what's happening.
Yeah.
So that's why we were so excited this weekend, because I was like, you're gonna get to actually see it and hear it. And then she was so sick she couldn't go. So
that's too bad.
Yeah. She'll get better. The good news is no COVID. She just got some conk dread. So
okay, good. One minor tiny little spoiler.
Go.
Did anybody watch? Did anybody pay attention to the video game that Gonki was playing in his dorm room?
I did. I noticed. Not only noticed that, but then later on, I noticed the same character from the game you're talking about was in the reveal of the place they were all going.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
That was awesome. Yeah. All of it was good. Yeah. You know what? The whole canon thing, which I won't detail because I think it's important people just see it, but they just know that the term canon and how we use it as nerds, it's awesome. And Oscar Isaac, could he have his feet in more cool shit?
No kidding.
He's in this. He's in Dune. He was in Star Wars. He's Moon Knight. He was on one of the bad X-Men movies, but I don't remember which one. Like that That's dude. Right. Oh no, he was purple guy. The X-Men character. What was his name? It came right after First Class.
Oh, Apocalypse.
Apocalypse. He was Apocalypse.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, let's forget that. Let's talk about Inside Llewyn Davis, which
yeah,
I just
there you go. Like, yeah, and the Coen Brothers really movie.
Great.
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
It is a great movie. And he's just, the fact that that guy's just, I mean, he's just getting started.
He's having a moment. Yeah.
It's really great to see. Yeah.
Speaking of X-Men, really quick, Brian had asked me in an email, did I know anything about this thing that's going on at the San Diego Comic-Con. San Diego Comic-Con comes out next month,
right?
Yeah. July 21st through 28th or whatever it is. They are having an X-Men Hellfire Gala at a club there in San Diego. And this is, for people that don't know, the Hellfire Gala in the X-Men comics is this big Met Gala thing where all the X-Men show up in their different fancy clothes and everything. And it was the way for them to kick off some big issues related to X-Men comics, especially the X-Men coming together and moving to Krakoa and all of those kinds of things. Well, the X-Men era with Jason Aaron is coming to an end. Good times with the X-Men are about to fall apart in a big way.
Yeah.
But before that happens, they want people to come to this Hellfire Gala. And from what I can tell, they're wanting people to come in their cosplay, in fancy cosplay stuff, go to this thing. They've got a bunch of rooms set up that are supposed to be like you are at the Hellfire Gala. Of course, they have things for you to buy and all this other stuff.
Of course.
It takes place on Saturday, July 22nd, beginning at 8:00 p.m., which that's a great time for this. You know, the main show events have shut down. However, Disney and Marvel are really kicking cosplayers in the proverbial pantalones.
Right there, because the printed jocks. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes, because at the exact same time is the annual masquerade that they have at the San Diego Comic-Con, which is their big cosplay contest that they have.
Yeah.
And so cosplayers are going to be kind of split, I think, in deciding who wants to go to what.
Yeah. I mean, it's so talking about if it was done unintentionally, that's somebody's bad job of researching. Mm-hmm. But if it was done intentionally, it's even more of just an a-hole thing to do. Like, oh, the masquerade thing is that exact time. Let's do our thing at that time, too. And they can, you know, instead of going and seeing other people's cosplay, we'll make them come to our thing.
Have they said anything? Has anybody copped to that? Or is it?
No one said anything as far as I can tell. But, I mean, it's just more of a, I don't know if they're expecting a lot of cosplayers to come, but I expect a lot will, just be so that they can show their take of, of Beast. Their version of that. But really it's just more like a nightclub event for people to go to. I think the people that are really into competition and really wanting to show off their work will probably still go to Masquerade, but I don't know. I'm waiting for a greater word to get out about this to see if there is any kind of any blowback on this. So it should be interesting.
Forward to seeing photos from that thing, because I think it's going to be really cool. I just don't know how far, because Disney's backing it. I'm curious as to how far they're going to go with the whole production value of this event. And are they going to have their own people?
That would be interesting. They don't say that they're having their own people there. They do talk about the green carpet event where people can come in. They have these different spaces. They have a dance floor, a ballroom. They have music and food and all these things. And of course, stuff you can buy.
Right.
And then it has some very strict rules on if you want to come in cosplay, you have to follow these guidelines. Hmm. But there's nothing about, you know, if they're going to have their own version of a Beast show up or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Interesting.
Or maybe Morbius will show up. He doesn't do anything.
Multi-beasts. Many beasts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that? Nothing.
Multiple beasts. Yeah. Hey, listen, they're all multiverse beasts.
There are. Yeah, there's probably a Beastiverse. We should do that movie next.
Across the Beastiverse.
Yeah, why not? A lot of blue-haired beasts. Excellent. Well, this is all good. How about the, do you have anybody in the Eisners this year that you're like, oh, the Eisners, look who's
winning this year. Yeah, so the Eisners, the annual Will Eisner Comic Book Industry Awards will also be given away Saturday night at the San Diego Comic-Con. There are some really good books that people might want to check out that are up for awards. One of them is from the DC Pride 2022 edition that came out, I want to say, last month. It's Finding Batman by Kevin Conroy and Jay Bone. It talks, Kevin Conroy talks about, you know, his becoming Batman and then also coming out as a gay man. He has since passed away, but that one is up for best short story. There is for the best limited series. I've talked about this before on the morning stream, but The Human Target by Tom King and Greg Smallwood is brilliant.
Yeah,
really. I think that that one is something that people should also check out if they are looking for something, just a 12 issue series. If you've ever read or ever seen the movie DOA, there's two different versions. Both are the same. Somebody is poisoned and he has to solve his own murder before
whatever. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. This is the same thing, except he's got a week or something to solve his case. That it's very, very good. Mm. We also look at some of the best graphic novels. The Batman One Bad Day series is very good. The Riddler issue is up for an award. Oh, I thought that was really, yeah, really good.
I like that one. I read that whole thing. That was great.
Is really good.
Yeah.
And so I think people should check that out. Then when we look at, let's see what we have under the best writer, Tom King is up for best writer. Grace Ellis is up there. Mark Russell, who's a great satirist. He did the Flintstones series a few years ago over at DC Comics.
Yeah.
But he's up for Traveling to Mars, which is over at Blaze Publishing, about, you know, what happens when people decide that they want to actually go and colonize Mars, what really is going to happen. James Tynion IV and Chip Zdarsky are all up for some of the best writers. And Chip Zdarsky currently writing Batman, but he's also got an incredible run on Daredevil, which is very good.
Yeah.
And then when we look at some of the best artists, we have Sean Phillips, who does the stuff with Ed Brubaker with Follow Me Down and The Ghost in You. Mm. Very, very good stuff there. And of course, Greg Smallwood, like I mentioned, with The Human Target. So if any of those kinds of things sound really good to you, we have a long list over at the Major Spoilers website of the nominees. We'll have the winners when they're announced. But these are, you know, some of the best, and there's always something good to find in that list of comics for people to read.
I don't know how they don't just give it to Tom King in his category. That guy, I've yet to read a comic he wrote where I wasn't like, that was great. I always feel that way after his.
Like, he's pretty controversial. I mean, some people really, really like his stuff. Yeah. And then there's other people that are just like, he is the worst of the worst.
Kind really? Because.
Yeah.
I mean, his books sell like crazy. What?
They do. But then there's people that are like, oh, he's doing these things with characters that he shouldn't be doing. And I see where people come from.
Yeah.
But I like him as a writer. I don't know him as a person, but I like him as a writer. But he's very controversial.
Yeah. I bet it doesn't help that in January of 2023, it was announced by James Gunn that King would be one of the architects of his new DC Universe media franchise of feature films.
Yeah. Oh. Well, specifically because of his Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow, which won last year as one of the best books of a limited series.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's because they're adapting that, having him on board is a good thing.
Yeah. Well, I like that guy, so good luck to him.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. There's more coverage like this over at majorspoilers.com. We tell you that every week, but we mean it, okay? Go check it out.
Yeah, we need more people to come over there and check us out.
Damn straight. They got podcasts. They got everything. They got everything you need. So go get your nerd on and spend some more time over there at majorspoilers.com. Steven, anything else in particular you'd like people to know about?
Well, not only does Major Spoilers have all the news and information and previews that you want about comic books, we also have important life advice, such as staying hydrated.
Oh, well, make sure you do that. That's a good idea. He's a professor, so you should listen.
That's right.
Try my product. Not that kind of professor.
Not that professor.
Not that guy.
Not a video professor.
No, but you should try his product. I think that's true.
Yes.
All right, a couple of quick emails to get out of here today. We're going to start with this one from Patrick. Not our Patrick, different Patrick. He sent this in to themorningstream@gmail.com, and this is about wine. Not to be confused with the Windows emulation software. Not that wine, but the kind you drink. And here's what he says. Howdy, Scott and Brian. Just a correction to the person that called in regarding the residue in the bottom of a bottle of wine. What do we call it? Lees, yeah. I guess is what we call it.
Lees, yeah. They were like the sake lees was in that ice cream flavor that we were looking
That's right. He says, lees are dead yeast cells after fermentation. They are not really bits of grape skins and grape stuff. The stuff that gets filtered out after the crush. Vintners is what I meant to say, not vinters. Vintners, meaning wine people, leave the wine to age on the lees to add mellow notes to the wine. Then this is filtered out, and then the wine is then bottled and then bottle aged. The stuff at the bottom of the wine bottle are crystals called tartrates. Sounds tart. which is naturally formed from the wine. Sorry, I'm a bit of a wine collector and a wine nerd. Best regards, Patrick. Well, don't be sorry. No, that's great.
Awesome. Yeah.
It's good to have some clarity.
That's cool. Yeah, I assumed that it was, you know, dregs from the grapes, from like, you know, stuff that just gets through the filters, but that totally makes sense as far as like yeast crystals.
Yep. You're eating those dead yeast cells, Brian.
Delicious. I'm not eating those. I don't take the dregs. Like a little bit of the bottle left. Nope. Open a new damn bottle.
Especially not now that we know this. Yes. All right. Here's a text about senior pranks. This came to 801-471-0462. And it is a anonymous person who says, the best senior prank I ever heard of involved a bunch of 4-H kids. What does that mean?
No, 4-H. Like you don't have 4-H?
No, we do, but I'm just making sure he doesn't mean like 4th through high school or something. That just means 4-H, right? Like 4-H.
I'm guessing 4-H, yeah. 4-H, because it deals with their prank deals with agriculture, so I'm guessing they deal with animals and stuff with 4-H as one of their things.
All right. Well, he says a bunch of 4-H kids released pigs into the school overnight while nobody was there. The genius of the prank, however, is that before releasing the pigs into the school, the students painted a number on each one of the pigs. They released 5 pigs. However, they painted the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6 on the 5 pigs they released, giving the illusion that there being 6 pigs total and causing great consternation among the staff members trying to find pig number 5.
That is brilliant.
I love that.
We know it's got to be around here somewhere. Search every cranny for pig number 5.
Yep. I feel like they fell for a. You probably heard it in the clips today, but I've been, like we talked about on FilmSack, I turned right around and started watching Inside Man.
Yeah.
The Spike Lee heist movie. And they do shit like this through that whole movie, this whole misdirection thing of like. So reading this thing about the pigs just felt like more of that movie. Because that movie's all about misdirection. It's all about, we did a thing that you think we're doing, but we didn't really do that with Denzel Washington. We did another thing over here. While you weren't looking, we were doing this. Reminds me of that. Anyway, 1 through 6, nicely done. And thank you for sharing that with us. We're done. We're out of here.
It reminds me that I need to watch that again, too.
That movie's awesome. It's on Netflix and just good today as it ever was. It's really great.
It's cool.
That's it for the show. Patreon.com/TMS is how we are supported. The website you'll want to visit for all things TMS is at frogpants.com/TMS. And if you have any other questions or thoughts, send them in 801-471-0462 or themorningstream@gmail.com. That'll do it for us. Hey, Brian, cool. Why don't we play a song? How about that?
Let's do that. So we didn't have a show Friday or didn't have a proper show. We didn't have a proper show either, or even an improper show. But that was Joey's birthday, Joey Image's birthday. And he put in a request, so today's the first day for a real show since his birthday. He said, June 2nd is my birthday. Celebrate me, you beautiful bald man. Mm. Like, okay, yeah, sure. Happy to do it. He wants a cover of Don't Fear the Reaper, originally by Blue Oyster Cult. I've played a few versions here on the show. One of my favorites is by The Beautiful South, but since I've played that one before, let's go to this one right here. It's by Heaven 17 from a 2005. It's funny that it's called 15 soft rock anthems, because I would not call Don't Fear the Reaper a soft rock anthem. From 2005, here's Heaven 17 and Don't Fear the Reaper.
Like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Your dad has definitely done cocaine.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.